Title of our message today is Salt and Light of the World. So before we go into our text, before we go into the other Bible verses, let's spend a few seconds praying again. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Everything that we know about you, it's because you have revealed yourself to us. Through nature, as Craig just shared the story, through scripture, throughout the centuries, and also the special revelation of Jesus Christ. So we are so thankful that we know you because you have revealed yourself to us. And as we come before your word and study it, we ask that the same Spirit that inspired the prophets may be with us to help us to understand it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So this chapter, chapter 5, is part of the Sermon of the Mountain. And I'm going just to read those verses so then we can make the connection with the verses that came before. And that was the most known sermon that Jesus preached, that Matthew and other disciples, they recorded for us to have access to know what Jesus was preaching that day. And here it says in verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by man. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house." And then Jesus concludes this section of the Sermon of the Mountain saying, "Let your light shine, so shine, before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So if you go back a few verses in this chapter, you're going to see that right before Jesus said those words, Jesus shared the Beatitudes, the blessings. And those two sections in this sermon, they are connected. Because the Beatitudes, they are the elements of the Christian life. But this section here that Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth, the light of the world." So Jesus is talking about Christian influence. A Christian that is merciful, as Jesus mentioned in the Beatitudes, a Christian that is meek, a Christian that is a peacemaker, a Christian that is pure in the heart, will have a tremendous influence in other people's lives. So those people who have not had the chance to know God yet. So, and in this message, I would like to share some information about those two elements and why Jesus chose the salt and the light to compare to every Christian and the way that we should witness to other people. And the first thing that Jesus used here is the salt. He says, "You're the salt of the earth." So, salt in the past and even today is really important. Maybe even more in the past. In ancient times, salt was seen as a necessity of life. And because of its seasoning and preservative qualities, was one of the most highly valued minerals. And in many societies, it was so highly valued that it was used for money. So that's why the English word salary. So, because it came from the Latin word, salarian, which was the payments made to the Roman soldiers with salt. So, and I'd like to share with you here some very important functions of salt. So, the first one is that salt is seasoning. It functions as to season, to flavor the food. And in biblical times, and even today, is used for that. And even though salt is so small and it hardly noticeable, it makes a difference when it is applied to the food. So you don't see it, but you can like taste it. It makes the difference. And probably you don't like food with the salt. So like most people like the flavor, the seasoning in the food. And the salt, interesting, it was also used to season the sacrifices in the Old Testament. And that's something that I didn't know until I was studying this subject. And like Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13 says that the grain offerings should be seasoned with salt. And it says here that you shall not allow the salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking from your grain offering. With all your offering, you shall offer salt. And we see the same thing in Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 24, but not talking about the grain offering, but the burnt offering. So this was actually a sacrifice. It says, when you offer them before the Lord, the priest shall throw salt on them. And they will offer them up as a burnt offering to the Lord. So salt in the sacrifices. When we go to the New Testament and Paul is talking about us as a sacrifice, he says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So we are not called to be a sacrifice that is skilled, well, unless it's necessary. But God is calling us to be a living sacrifice, which means that we surrender our lives every day, that we give our lives to Him every day. And I understand that we should be also seasoned with the salt of God's grace, of His righteousness, to make the difference in other people's lives. So other characteristic of salt is to preserve, especially in those biblical times. Remember, they didn't have freezers. They didn't have refrigeration, anything like that. So to preserve food, you had to use salt. And the third aspect that you'd like to highlight here, and it's a symbol that we see in the Bible, is that the salt is related to relationship, friendship. And even the relationship between God and human beings. In Numbers chapter 18, verse 19, the Bible says here that whatever is set aside from the holy offerings the Israelites present to the Lord, I give to you and to your sons and daughters as your perpetual share. It is an everlasting covenant of salt before the Lord, for both you and for your offspring. An everlasting covenant of salt. Covenant, it's a relationship. And in many cultures, even today, salt is related to, it's a symbol of hospitality. Because it's related to food. So how can you share like your friendship? How can you show that you care about people? Even today in our society, food. Food is a very important aspect of life. And the salt here is a symbol of a relationship. So Jesus said to that multitude when he was preaching the Sermon of the Mountain, you are the salt of the earth. So what does that mean? Well, what Jesus wanted to say is that it's the silent witness of the Christian believer. It's the influence that you have over other people's lives, even when you don't say anything. Just like the salt. Nobody sees it, but it's silently working in everything around it, in the environment. So it's the influence that you have over other people's lives to season to flavor their lives, to preserve their lives for eternal life. So Christ is saying, let your influence season people's lives for my kingdom. Salt changes things. A little salt can flavor a big pot of beans. It takes salt, a little salt to flavor, like talking about us as Christians, to flavor the whole community, our neighborhood. So that's what Jesus is saying. So like, even if we are few, we can make a difference, just like the salt. We can give a new flavor to people's lives to show something that they don't have in their lives, to show that there is a special taste in following Jesus. So the whole issue of salt is the seasoning, the influence that you have over other people to bring them to Jesus. And probably you have heard this, the salt is no good if never leaves the salt shaker. It doesn't make any difference. It only makes a difference if it mingles with the food. So if it is just like in the salt shaker, it's just a decoration. It doesn't make any difference. So, and that's what Jesus is saying. So we deny the salt function of our Christian life. When we fail to mingle with people, they are not saved. They are lost because they don't know Jesus. We deny the function of the salt when we fail to be kind, when we fail to be merciful, to be peacemakers. And to deny the salt function is to deny the principles of the kingdom of God. So we are not to draw away from society. We're not, like Jesus said that, we are not from the world, but we're still in the world. And I believe that sometimes God calls people to go to a more isolated place, like a farm, or like a place that they might have a better quality of life. I think that's a personal call. But we have to remember that the salt makes a difference only when it mingles with other elements, with the food. So that's why, like, this is a calling actually to be to influence people, to be around people, so people may see Jesus in us, even when we are silent. And if as salt we don't rub against those who have no flavor, those who are perishing, so who will? Who will do the job? If God is calling us to be the salt of the earth, and we are not spending the time with other people, so who will do that? So, and Jesus said that you are the salt of the earth. So this is a very emphatic. He didn't say you are the earth, and he didn't say you might be the salt. He didn't say you ought to be the salt. He said you are the salt of the earth, which gives us only two options. We are either the salt or the world. So if we are not bringing flavor to people's life, if we are not walking as salt, that means that we are the world. And remember, Lot's wife, she became a pillar of salt because she wanted to be part of the world. But we have not been called to be a pillar of salt. We have been called to be the salt of the earth. So, and salt witnessing is about showing friendship. So you can show Jesus through your relationships, through friendship, showing that you care, showing Jesus loving everything that you do. So, and that's the first element that the Bible shares here. So, we are the salt of the earth. The second one is about light. So, Jesus has called us the light of the world. And light is described as a form of energy, and it's always moving. So, when light energy ceases to move, it's because it has been absorbed by matter, which means that it's no longer light. Light in the Bible is also a symbol of the divine presence. So in Jesus himself, he said that he was the light of the world. So, and here we have to understand something very important. So who is the true source of light? Jesus is saying, you are the light of the world. But are we the source? Of course not. And we find many Bible verses that explains that here. For example, John chapter 8 verse 12 says that Jesus said to them, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So who is the source according to this verse? Jesus. He is the one who gives light to us. Those who walk with him don't walk in darkness. And then in the following verse, it's Psalm 27 verse 1 that says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. So only God is light. And then the verse continues, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So people live in fear today because they live in darkness. So many things happen in the world that we don't have control. And this is a great opportunity for us to shine the light so people will not be afraid. And then 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sins. So if we walk in the light, if we walk in Jesus, so we'll have fellowship with one another. So we are called to have friendships and to witness to them. So we know Jesus is the true light, and we are only reflectors, according to those verses. But the question is, what does it mean that Jesus is the light? So let me share another Bible verse from John here, the introduction of the book of John. And this is talking about John the Baptist. Verse 1 through 6 in John chapter 1 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. So this is the John the Baptist. So this came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. And then it says about John, he was not the light. So he had a message, but he was not the light. But he was sent to bear witness of that light. And then verse 9 says, there was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. And if we go to verse 4, we see that John here is talking about Jesus. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So the introduction, the prologue of the Gospel of John is all about Jesus. So he is the light. He is the light. See, that it's very evident that we are just reflectors. And that Jesus is the light. Not only that, but be a light of Jesus is to live his life here on earth. We can reflect Jesus' character. And this way we're going to reflect his light. In other words, it's about our testimony. It's the way that we present Jesus. So, and let me just share with you some functions of light, just as I did with salt. And the first function of light is to expose darkness. So, darkness and light, they cannot be in the same place at the same time. The moment that you turn the switch on, darkness disappears because light is present. And that's one of the functions of light. It should expose darkness. Darkness is expelled as soon as you hit the switch. People are now aware they're in darkness. Just like a fish is now aware that it lives in the water. So we are not aware of the environment that we live until we face a new reality. So people in the world, they live in darkness and they don't even know until they have the opportunity to see the light. So it's and that's the one of the functions of the light, is to expose darkness. And that's why Matthew chapter 4 verse 16 says, "And the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region of the shadow of death, light has dawned." So people sit in darkness. They don't know if they are in darkness until they see the light. The second function of light that I'd like to share is that lights serve as a guide. So, we have many examples of that. So when you're driving your car and it is dark at night, so you need the lights. The lights are going to guide you to know where you have to go. So lights help in an airport runaway for the plane to see their runaways by the light. So when we try to drive a car or land a plane without lights, so there is a very good chance that there will be an accident. There will be a tragedy. So, and we need to be guides for other people to point them to Jesus. And the third aspect of the light is that light is to be seen. So there is no such thing as a Christian, a secret Christian. So we are not called to be secret Christians. So we need to be a light all the time. And as a light, people are going to see. So light shines not so much that people may see the light, but to see other things because of the light. And I think this is really important. Our light shines not that people will be attracted to us. People pay attention to us, but to point them to Jesus Christ. So that's important to understand. So we are light, not for people to see the light, but to see the reality of Jesus. So, and that's why Jesus said in verse 15 here that, "Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." So in Palestinian homes at that time, they were very dark. So they had just one small window. So they didn't have light bulbs, electricity as we have today. So they had to light a lamp. There was a bowl with some oil, with a wick, that they have to lead that so then that they could have some light in the house. So that was the only source of light in the house. So, and the most difficult thing for them at that time with this system was to light the lamp, because there was no matches. So they had to be very careful with the lamp. So they had this special place, the lampstand, so people could see the light and illuminate everything in the house. And many times when they have to go somewhere else, nobody was going to be in the house. So they knew there was going to be a lot of work for them to light that light again. So they would just put a basket over that lamp, so you'd be risk-free. So they could go, and as soon as they were back home, they would take that lamp and put it back in the lampstand. So that was their life at that time. No one lights a light only to put it under a basket. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. So it has to be in a place that everybody can see and is going to give light to the whole environment. And that's why Jesus was saying, "You're the light of the world." So, So how do we apply that into our lives? So first, so we are here to dispel darkness. So as we reflect the light of Jesus, and we become the light of the world because we are reflecting Jesus, so we have, by Jesus' power, the ability to expel darkness. So, and that's what Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, 60, verse 1 through 3 says. This is applicable to Jesus. But as we receive his light, we could say that this is applicable to each one of us today. And it says here, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and the deep darkness the people." See, like the world is in darkness. But then God says here, "But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. So the Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising." So that's what God wants to do through us. And the whole issue with the light is to be able to light in the darkness. And Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world." Every Christian is a light to help others find salvation in Jesus Christ. But we have to remember, we do not have life of our own any more than the moon has light without the sun. We don't have light unless we receive from Jesus. Or a light bulb has light without being connected to a power source. So we have to be connected. And Jesus did not say here, "You are the light of Palestine. So you're the light of Rockford." Now he's saying, "You're the light of the world." Which means that we have a worldwide message to share with other people. And we can start right there where we are. So, and I think this is the core of our Seventh-day Adventist message. So much so that in Revelation chapter 14, verse 6, one of the three angels' message, it says here that John says, "I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach." Everlasting gospel, that's the message. To preach to those who dwell where? On the earth. Every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every people. So this is a message for everyone. And what happens when a light fails to give its light? So according to the Bible, it's removed. Because a light that doesn't give light is not a light. And in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, Jesus here is talking to, is speaking to one of the seven churches. And he says here, "Remember therefore where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its source, unless you repent." So if we are not a light, so we lose the privilege. We lose the privilege. So we are the light. It's visible to the human eye. The people need to see. So, why did Jesus use those two completely different elements to talk about the same thing, the witnessing of our Christian life, our influence over other people? At the same time that Jesus is talking about the same thing, there are differences here that we need to understand. And salt is works and expands itself silently. So you don't see it, but you know it's there. It's working. So the food is delicious because the salt is there. The flavor is given by the salt. So you don't have to give Bible studies to be salt. You don't have to preach to be salt. But this is about your influence, how your life reflects Jesus' character. And people see. People can see that when you share your peace, as the Beatitude says, your meekness, your mercy, when you're pure. So people can see that. And it doesn't need a lot of salt to make the difference. It only takes a little to get it going. God is saying, just give me one and I will be able to influence many others to bring flavor to their lives. And God can do that through us, whatever we are, in our workplace, in our school, in our neighborhood, in our city. We can bring a special flavor, a special taste of Jesus to their lives. But on the other hand, light has a different kind of effect. So salt is silent. We don't see it. Light is visible. So, and it's seen walking openly. This is when you openly share your faith with others, when you share about God. So is there one that is more important than the other? So you are the salt, but you're not the light, or you're the light, but you're not the salt. No, they work together. So they're just two different ways of looking at the same thing. So people are going to be attracted to Jesus first, looking at our lives. When we don't say a word, they see that there is something different. They see that you have something that they do not have. So your life is different. And they come and talk with you. So I see that you have something different. You are different from other people. So that's the way that works with salt. You're the salt of the world, the earth. You're flavoring the world. And people can feel that. But then we have the opportunity to share. To share the message that we have. To share Jesus with others. And that's not the silently element of witnessing. That's the light. It's when we openly share what we believe about Jesus, about his love, about the message that we have. And those two things, they should work together. And because they are going to make the difference in people's lives. And again, we need to remember that we are just reflectors of the light. We don't have light on ourselves. So much so that that's the reason why Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, "For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So he gives us the light so then we can be reflectors of him. So we are like mirrors. We have to position ourselves in such a way that as we receive the light of God, of Jesus in our lives, we can reflect to others. How can we do that? How can we position ourselves in such a way that we can receive the light that comes from Jesus? So it's studying our Bibles, spending time with God, spending time in prayer. So spending time with God. And as we position ourselves each day to Christ, the light will shine automatically. So we don't need to force anything. So walk with Jesus, and you're going to reflect his character. So, and I want to conclude this message saying that the time has come for us to become salt of the earth. The silent influence in people's life. The time has come for us to be the light of the world, to shine with the glory of God's character, to share the good news. When people see in us the character of God, the message will spread like a wildfire. So we don't need to be concerned about that. So sometimes we have that impression that nobody wants to hear the message. Nobody wants to hear what I have to share. So remember what Jesus said, that the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. So there are many people ready if we just become the salt of the earth, the light of the world. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much because you have called us to reflect the glory that comes from Jesus. That we have the opportunity to to make the difference in people's life for their salvation when we walk with you. That silently and openly, as the salt of the earth, as the light of the world, we can make the difference in their lives. Father, one day we want to be in heaven with you. But we want more than that. We want to see our family. We want to see our friends. We want to see our neighbors. We want to see other people in heaven. They're there because we shared this the message, because we're reflectors of Jesus' light, of Jesus' glory. I just imagine the joy that we are going to have in heaven one day. When someone comes to us and they say, "Thank you so much. I'm here because you shared the light of Jesus." Don't let us miss the opportunity to make the difference, to flavor the world, to light your light. So use us, Father. Give us your Holy Spirit. And give us a desire to spend time with you so that that becomes automatic. So we love you and we ask your blessings upon us. As we leave this place, Father, we ask you that we may make the difference wherever we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.